I'm going to move on to a third question now. Is Alex Dale in the room? And this question is on Europe. Alex. Could you just wait 1 second, Alex? We'll get a mic to you.
Just ask the panel, due to the current economic climate, should the UK consider pulling out of Europe?
Okay, Jim Nicholson, should the UK consider pulling out of Europe?
I wonder why I thought that question might be asked today. It's certainly interesting time, shall we say, and there's a debate in the House of Commons. I'm not sure we know what the question is going to be asked. I think the United Kingdom, the people of the United Kingdom, have got to be given a chance to decide once and for all where do they want to be, in Europe or out of it. They didn't get it at the Constitution, and I think until you actually have that referendum, you are going to continually have these divides, and you're actually going to destroy and weaken the United Kingdom's position to actually pull its weight and within Europe. And I think what we have got to look at, and it'll be interesting to watch the debate in the House of Commons on this subject, because it'll be their decision. As far as I am concerned, I certainly believe that we have got to look at, if we're going to have a debate on whether the United Kingdom should be in Europe or not, we have to have that debate with all the evidence out there of what the situation is. United Kingdom at the moment, 50%, over 50% of our trade is with the rest of Europe. The farmers would have to ask the question, will they receive the same report, the support from Westminster as they do from Europe? There's lots of questions have got to be asked and answered. It's not as easy as saying. And in the present economic climate, I can understand why this is happening, because Europe has not responded well. And we watch them even today, dithering. And not able to make a decision. And this is the great weakness of the European process, the inability to make a decision when it really matters. And that is where I think, and why there's such a clamour to get out of Europe. Europe has brought some good things, but they also cause an awful lot of problems. I mentioned procurement in the earlier debate. Those are some of the rules and the regulations that we have that are actually strangling us. And that is why we've been driven. But we have got to look the long term, not take a short term view on this, in my opinion. Thank you. Okay.
Just before I come to you, Glenn, I noticed Mike nodding a lot there. Mike. Yep.
Well, that question would have been very interesting before this crisis happened. But the crisis has happened. Europe is now teetering on the edge of some sort of abyss. I'm not honestly optimistic that Frau Merkel and Sarkozy will actually do the right deal that will actually end this. I can see it ending potentially in another banking crisis, which would be bad for us all. But look, Jim's absolutely right. The facts are the UK is very much trade dependent on continental Europe, and to try and extract ourselves from that would be difficult and would also be extremely stupid. The UK now, curiously enough, the present problems in Europe, I think, have helped to clarify the United Kingdom's position. And what's likely to happen now in the post-crisis situation is that a smaller number of bigger economies in Europe may decide to press ahead with greater integration. But, you know, the days of the federal Europe, the days of the United States of Europe are gone forever. And don't forget, any new move down the road between France and Germany will have to, and possibly Ireland, will have to have a new treaty. Right now, can you see the electorate in the south of Ireland voting for another treaty? You know, they're complaining bitterly about losing their independence to the IMF and the Commission. Are they going to permanently give that up? Absolutely not. Will the other member states in Europe, will the French and the Germans vote for that? No. So I think where we are heading now in Europe is that we will press ahead with the single market. And that has to be good for the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom's in pole position to exploit its economic strengths in the single market. And that's what Britain's position always has been. They don't want anything to do with the political process. Now they don't have to.
Glenn.
Well, I think it would be madness for us to withdraw from the European Union. That doesn't mean to say that we can't go in there and press for greater change. I think that what the European Union needs to do It needs to do less, and it needs to do it better. I think that what we need to ensure that we have a less bureaucratic Europe, or less red tape, and we need to ensure, as Northern Ireland, that our Brussels office that the executive has is used to greater potential. I don't think that we really are getting our act together in a serious way in Brussels. We're not using that office to its full potential. And I think we need to be looking again at how Northern Ireland gets the best possible deal out of the European Union. It is in our national interest to have stability in the Eurozone. I don't think there's any question now of the UK ever joining the Euro. But I think we do need, and given that we share a land border with a country that's in the Eurozone, getting stability in that economy and the Eurozone as a whole is absolutely crucial to the economy and to our business sector in Northern Ireland, that we do get that. We should stay in Europe, we should press for change, and we should ensure that they do less, but they do it better.
Patricia, in sickness and in health, I suppose, I mean, there is an argument that, now that it's gone bad, the argument comes forward for going out. But is that the right context?
Well, the Europe that the trade union movement signed up to was social Europe. And of particular importance to us was the safeguarding of people's rights, ordinary people, people vulnerable to discrimination, women, for example. A Europe that would enshrine some fundamental human rights in, for example, the Charter. And that is the part of Europe that is diminishing, and that does cause us some very big worries. I think there's no doubt the debate needs to take place, but I do agree with Jim, this needs to be an informed debate as opposed to the tabloid headline that we see. I mean, according to the tabloid press, being part of the European Union is about consistently coming out with crazy regulation. And yet the big regulation that Europe failed collectively to exert was on the financial and banking institutions. And I heard someone say recently how magnanimous the Parliament of Germany was to vote for yet more money for Greece, without the understanding that not a single penny is going to the people of Greece, who are in serious trouble. Every penny is going into the financial institutions to do what? Safeguard the interests of Germany and France and others. So there's a great deal of dishonesty at the minute and an awful lack of real information to ordinary people so that they can make their minds up.
Okay, Patricia. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because a lot of the problems that Europe faces is not the problems of Europe. It's actually the implementation of the directives when they actually come down to be implemented either at Westminster or at the Assembly or anywhere else. And there's nowhere better at gold plating than Northern Ireland and the United Kingdom when we send our civil servants out to actually impose some of these things instead of using common sense that they would do in other member states. I've been in other member states where they do not even come close to where we are. So it's no wonder people are actually rebelling against that. And I'm glad Glyn took my phrase from the last European election, do less but do it better, because I think that is what Europe does need to do. And get rid of some of the regulations that we don't need, that are obsolete, get them out of the way, and let's get to a streamlined area whereby we can cooperate. And when we can want to be in Europe and cooperation, and let's get back, as Mike says also, to cooperation in the market and get the market of Europe going. And that is where they have miserably failed. And that is the challenge for the future, I believe. But we also have to remember that we in Northern Ireland, we live in a global economy. And that's what we're in now. That global economy is there and it's not disappearing. And if we think we can bury our heads in the sand and it'll pass us by, then we'll be lost. We have got to be part of that. We have a challenge now. Like, why was Danny Kennedy out in Brussels this week looking millions to actually improve our infrastructure with the hope of getting it? Those are the type of things we have got to do. And I have to say to my Assembly colleagues, get out there, get active with the rest of us and actually deliver for Northern Ireland.
Great.
Sorry, Glyn, just to finish this off, go ahead.
Cost of bureaucracy and red tape, a lot of it, as Jim says, comes from Europe. It is a huge burden on our private sector, particularly our small business sector. In the last 12 years, it's cost the Northern Ireland economy some $24 million. That's money that our small business sector simply cannot afford to lose. And you have the amount of bureaucracy and red tape is so bad at the minute, it's actually deterring a lot of small businesses from employing more staff. They spend more time having to fill forms in when they should be running their business and trying to survive this recession. So we do need to see a proper, better regulation strategy. We do need to see, and again, this is something the Assembly can do, we do need to see every government department setting targets to reduce red tape on a yearly basis.
Okay. Glyn
is correct in the cost of gold plating here, but he forgets that the billions of pounds that Europe has pumped into here. I think we've got a very good deal.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Okay. Now to our final question, and we are living in a very important decade. So is Cathy Corbett in the room? She has a question reflecting on that. Cathy, if you just wait a second, we'll get a microphone to you. Thanks very much.
Mr. Chairman, given that there are a number of centenary celebrations approaching, how can we ensure that these are celebrated in an inclusive way? And how can an effective cohesion, sharing and integration strategy help promote such tolerance?
Okay. Glyn, could I kick off with you, please?
Well, I think the thing is that we do need to get this shared space agenda right, because the fundamental reality is that divided societies are bad for business. And if you look at some of the flashpoints we've had, certainly over the last year, whether it's in Ardoyne, whether it's the Lower Newton Arch Road, those are areas crying out for investment, crying out for a private sector job. So this is an economic imperative. And of course, there is the cost of division in this society, costs the economy over £1 billion. So we do need to get this right. What I would say is that in terms of some of the centenaries coming up, we should look to try and make them inclusive as possible, take the best out of our past, and recognise that we are, while we may be a divided society, some of that diversity is actually good for this society. And I think we should approach the centenaries in a mature way and ensure that they can be as inclusive as possible. But we've got to ensure that we get an effective CSI strategy from the executive. And we do need to start addressing the sheer amount or the number of peace walls and the consequences of us continuing to be a divided society. The business organisations actually put in a joint submission to the CSI inquiry. So we have ideas about it, but fundamentally that it is bad for business, it's bad for this economy if we continue to be as divided as we are in this society.
Patricia McKeown, is there any maturity in the debate when the original document had to be pretty much torn up?
Well, the original document did not have universal support. In fact, it had almost universal rejection. This is the document that came through under direct rule. We don't have a proper policy for sharing the future. This one with the crazy name is not it. I think it's a cosmetic. I think there are all sorts of pitfalls we're in danger of falling into here. I get very worried when I hear the arguments about duplication of public services, that what we're really talking about is some of the most beleaguered working class areas in this society who happen to have a health centre down this street and a few streets away another one, which they need because of their health inequalities, that's regarded as an excess expenditure. So I think we need to be very careful and work this out. We are also in an extraordinary time for celebrations. Quite clearly, 100 years ago, some extraordinary things were happening on this island, and we all know it. I have been involved in a number of the centenary celebrations recently. 2007, the Docker and Carter strike in Belfast, Catholics and Protestants standing together. 2009, the centenary of the Irish Transport and General Workers Union. Just yesterday, my own union was celebrating 100 years ago this year, the mill workers' strike organised by James Connolly in York Street Mill. My granny was in it, a number of members of my family were in it, and that very much changed attitudes across the island. In a couple of years' time, in 2013, we will celebrate the lockout and the resistance of workers in Dublin. And then, of course, we will come to 2016, and in between we will have had the landmark of the convention and everything that goes with it. Now, I think that the Labour history celebrations should be shared by everyone on the island. And I think the political celebrations should also be capable of being shared by everybody on this island. But we know it's not going to be that way. I live in North Belfast. It is probably the most deeply divided part of that city. The walls are everywhere. So too is endemic poverty, unemployment, economic inactivity, and you'll be very lucky if you get a job in the private sector, because the public sector and low-paid work is all that is available. Now, every time I've been involved in a campaign over the last 30 years to, for example, save the health services, I have watched people in that divided city come together, because they do care about health, they do care about their kids' education, and if they can get through a hole in a wall, they will do something together. And I think that's what we need to start capitalising on. What really is the aspiration of ordinary people in this society and how we bring them together. I represent a movement that covers every political shade of opinion. And on the 5th of October this year, people who vote Ulster Unionists were out in strike in the health service and the schools for a better future for this society. And I think we need to start paying attention there.
Okay, Patricia, thank you. Jim, won't real maturity be what will govern this debate if it's done on an island basis? Won't it have reached full maturity if it's on that basis?
Well, I think this is one of the big challenges it's going to face us over the next coming years. What has come out to date certainly has, as has been said, was rubbished when it did, and we haven't seen anything back. And that is going to be the great challenge. I think we've got to get back to some basics. There are a lot of centenaries coming up next year. There's lots of things happening, like the Queen's Diamond Jubilee, the Balmoral Review. And we have got to, I think, the biggest thing is have mutual respect for each other's point of view. And I think that's something that maybe the fact that I have probably had to work in Europe, where I've got to meet people from many diverse backgrounds and cultures, that I've had to learn to work with them. And I think that is where I think we can probably learn something more here, and to respect others' simple points of view. And I'm not being glib about this, because I think this is one of, considering what our past has been like, I think this is the greatest challenge we have in the future. And we must get this right for the benefit of our children and our grandchildren to grow up in a society that they can be proud of. And I think that is where I think this party, and I'm a strong believer in this, I believe we have got to lead from the front on this, and we have got to show, as we did when the heavy lifting had to be done to do what we had to do back in 98, and that is what we will continue to do, regardless, because we have the strength and the belief and the depth that we want to see Northern Ireland a place where people can be happy to live in.
And Mike Smith, thanks Jim. Mike Smith, what's the price if we don't? What's the price if we fail?
Well, Northern Ireland hasn't been operating near its potential for over 50 years. We're only starting to get to our potential in the 60s. And if we are ever to lessen our dependence on the national exchequer, I think we need to start to reach our economic potential. And again, I see all the opportunities, but I also, I see all the constraints. We need to leverage these centenary celebrations for our economic advantage, and it's possible to do that. But we also need to leverage them, I think, to take Jim's point, to start to seriously create a more tolerant and a more inclusive and a shared identity in society here. You know, we talk about it all the time. It's really the time to start to do it. And look, Jim mentioned our children. You know, if it's in another 50 years, we don't have our education system, our apartheid education system ended, you know, we can't start to move forward unless we really tackle that particular problem. It is unacceptable in the 21st century where kids are separated at age 4 and they don't come together again if they're lucky enough to go to university. That's simply not acceptable. But it's time to stop talking and start to reach out to the other side. This party, I think, has played a major role, took a lot of risks with the agreements. This party, I think, has a major role to play in moving towards creating a shared identity.
Okay, Mike Smith, thanks very much indeed. And Can you just put your hands together again then for your contributors for this panel session? Mike Smith, Jim Nicholson, Patricia McKeown. Panel session. Mike Smith.